Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge, and we are very glad to have you with us. We're also happy to welcome back to the program this guy we like to call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore, and for a long time now, he's been stopping by on the first Wednesday in the 10 o'clock hour, and we talk about food. And we pick some topic. Now, we've talked about a particular dish and just said, well, what's your approach to this? Or maybe we've talked about a particular kind of cooking, or maybe something was a key ingredient, and we always have a good time. We exchange stories and recipes, and sometimes people have called in with various kinds of tips and suggestions, and we've done troubleshooting and all kinds of stuff, and we always have a good time. And this time around, we were kind of thinking, well, you know, we have this conversation before, like about 2 days before, you know, and the question is, all right, well, what are we going to talk about? And we toss around a variety of things. And actually, this month's topic came from one of our producers, Harriet Williamson. She said, well, why don't you talk about salads? And we thought, well, now that's pretty interesting. Would give us lots of stuff to talk about. Would be something that where you, yes, can you start to use some of the things that you can find in the farmer's market. And I guess my thought, too, was, well, we're heading into summer. It's warmer weather. You'd like to have something that maybe would be cool or at least room temperature. It's not going to heat the kitchen up all that much. Well, salads pretty much do all of that. And it's the kind of thing that you can kind of do almost whatever you want with. So that's it. Maybe you have a good recipe to share for an approach to a salad or for dressing or for, you know, whatever. That's cool. Give us a call. 333-9455. Toll-free 800-222-9455. Those are the numbers. Well, it's good to have you here.
Well, thank you.
Once again. Let me just do one thing, too, before we get going, because after last time, I remember last time, someone called in, a caller called in and said he was looking for a recipe for and I'm not sure if it was for this specifically or where he just said, well, he was interested in a lemon pie. I don't recall. But in any case, a listener said, oh, yeah, I've got a recipe for you. This is for lemon icebox pie. And I'll just run down the recipe because it's really pretty simple. You need a graham cracker crust. You need 2 egg yolks. You need a half cup lemon juice. You need a small can of evaporated milk. And you need a teaspoon of lemon rind.
That's pretty good.
That's it. And so you beat the lemon juice and the rind into the yolks, and then you gradually beat in the milk. You pour it into the pie crust, and you chill it.
That's it.
And then it's topped with meringue. And so that's it. And it's not. This is not has not yet been put on the website. I'll see that happens. But it's pretty straightforward, and I think the only concern some people might have is, well, yes, it does use raw eggs, but now you can go to the grocery store and you can get pasteurized eggs. So if you're worried about that, and I guess now the conventional advice is, well, no, it's probably not a good thing to eat raw eggs. We used to,
yeah,
but we don't anymore.
I believe you can put them in hot water for a very short period of time so they don't cook, but that they do raise their temperature. I'm trying to remember who. I think it was Alton Brown that did that one time. Don't put them in the microwave. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. But it raises the temperature, and that's a very good recipe. That's very, very much like a key lime pie is made, only it uses lime juice.
Yeah. Okay.
And that condensed milk that is sweet tends to solidify or make, you know, kind of a makes its own custard. Very good pie.
Okay, so that's it. And I don't know. I'm hoping that the person who's sort of put out the request for this is listening. But if not, we'll get that on the website. And actually, one other thing I wanted to say is that now, for a while, we were continuing to kind of maintain 2 websites, and the recipes were on the old one. Well, they are now moved.
Oh, good.
So everything now is going to will.illinois.edu. So if people are looking for the recipes, they should be there. will.illinois.edu. Go there to the Focus 580 section and take a look at them.
Good.
Well, I know that we talked about, you know, this and that and the other thing, and somehow the topic of salads came up. But when I mentioned that, you said, oh, okay.
Okay. Well, because my immediate thought was, gee, a wedge of lettuce with French dressing.
Yes, that's from my. That's the salad of my childhood.
Yes, exactly.
As well. Yes,
and it has gone a long way. And I've got a couple of recipes that that I want to talk about for sure. And so anyway, it goes in many directions, and it isn't just some more lettuce and some more sauce. So I've got a lot to talk about today.
Yeah, well, and we actually have somebody ready to go
here,
so I guess we'll bring him in on our line number one. Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
What I want to suggest is tabbouleh.
Yes.
And there are many forms of tabbouleh, and it can use almost whatever you wish. I mean, the basic is some form of bulgur wheat, you can, or some form of cracked wheat. You can even get tabbouleh mixes and then add to it. Some of the things that I add to it include garlic, but sometimes I use garlic greens. I have garlic growing outside.
Oh, yes.
I chop up the garlic greens in it, because that's another aspect of what you could put in it. I use scallions, but I also use chives and other forms of in the onion family.
Yes.
Fresh mint is much better than dried mint. Fresh parsley is better than dried parsley.
Yes, indeed.
It grows all over. I like to use cucumber. If someone doesn't like cucumber, so be it. I like to use chickpeas in it. If people don't want that, that's fine. Forms of pepper can be used. I mean, you could use pepper, the spice, but I was thinking more of green, red, etc. peppers. I like lemon juice. I don't particularly care for it with lime juice, but some people like lime juice. I like olive oil, but if someone likes a different form of oil, fine. I mean, so the basics, at least the way I make it, is mixing the bulgur wheat with water, letting it sit for a period of time, adding salt, lemon juice, garlic, the mint, the olive oil, tomatoes, but only at the very end, because tomatoes make everything soppy. I think I've said everything else, but
that's pretty good covering. Yeah. Yes.
So I think the best thing is to look in your garden and see what's there and try different things. I mean, it might be that you have oregano growing in your garden and you might chop up some oregano and see what that does to it. You might have different varieties of mint that you want to use. You might have other vegetables. I've never tried it with radishes, but I suppose it might be interesting to throw radishes.
I think so, yes.
And it's always a matter of what you put it on greens or with greens. So you could use all sorts of greens, whether it's something simple like romaine or something, even spinach, or you could use, more spicy greens like arugula, radicchio, et cetera.
That's very, very good. Guess what? I made a tabbouleh salad 2 days ago. And you're absolutely right. I make mine in the style like they have at World Harvest.
Uh-huh.
They have a salad already made, and I always like that because I think that's Lebanese style, and that takes lots and lots of parsley.
Uh-huh.
I've had tabbouleh made in other situations where, oh yeah, I'll put in 3 tablespoons of parsley. No, this one takes 2 full cups of parsley, and I really kind of like that particular taste. So that's the one I made the other day, just like you can get here in town. So if you want to try it out, go to World Harvest. They'll give you a taste of it. It's very good, and you'll know how to make it then.
Uh-huh. And it's important that at least with some of the ingredients like parsley, to chop them up quite fine.
Quite fine, yes. And be sure to wash it. It's difficult to chomp on that one. It's a little crusty with dirt. But anyway, that was one of my main topics today was going to be tabbouleh. I'm glad you did it.
And as we were speaking, I just came to mind that you can even throw in various forms of sprouts as long as they're small and they don't overwhelm everything else. I mean, things like mung bean sprouts,
yes,
or lentil sprouts. But it's just got to be, what should I say, nothing overwhelming so that there's a good mix of everything and there's no one particular thing except the bulgur wheat, which is there all over.
Yes.
And to let it sit for a while so that the flavors mix.
Indeed. Just a little bit. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. Let it sit. Of course, I dived right into mine and had it for supper, but you do that. This always cheers me up a bit. I as you know, come from Kansas, and Kansas was the spot where bulgur began to be remade. America didn't know what bulgur was except by some people that would have brought it here and or even bring it in from out of the country, and they wanted to make a food with the excess wheat in Kansas that was available to a lot of places. You see, it doesn't take a lot of fire to heat the water. And in fact, you don't even have to heat the water to reconstitute the bulgur. And so they were sort of preparing this for third world countries as a food product. And all of a sudden, it became big. I could only buy it at the co-ops in Garden City, Kansas, and I would bring back a 50 pound bag and divide it to my friends. Oh, this was way back in the early 60s. And then slowly bulgur came around. A lot of my students' parents would have it, and they didn't know where to buy it, you know.
Let me make one last point, and I'll get off, is that there are different, grades,
yes,
of the bulgur wheat, and different people prefer different, whether it's chewier or larger grains or smaller grains, and I suggest that people try different varieties before they find the one that works for them.
That's good. And it's readily available in this town.
Yes.
And if you can't find it, then call Bob's Red Mill. He'll send you some.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks very much. We are talking this morning with Doyle Moore. It's the first Wednesday of the month. And we have for a long time been doing the show with him, talk about food and cooking. We exchange recipes and different approaches to dishes. We always have a good time. And this time around, we said, okay, it's summer. It's hot. What do you want to have? Maybe you'd like to have something that's cool or room temperature with some good vegetables in there and good flavors. The kind of things. See, what happens to me is I'm going through the winter and there are certain things that I make when it's cold. And
oh, yes.
You don't mind having the stove on. And so you think about braises and soups and stews and roasts and pizza and all this kind of stuff and good, robust tomato sauce. Now I get to this point and I think, wait a minute, I can't do that. I can't do that anymore. Now what am I going to do? So I'm looking for good things that are more like in tune with the way we're going.
I think for the most part we have most people have gotten their minds around fresh green greens and then various vinaigrettes and sauces that you put on it. That is good, but there are many other directions with the salads that are not necessarily unusual, but complex and more than just something that you eat as first course, which, yeah, I don't eat as first course. I have it after the main meal. I have a recipe here that it pleases me very much. A friend of mine brought it after they had visited in Russia, and this is a contemporary salad, and I never find it in any books. So remember, you heard it first here. But I have to caution that you have to make it exactly this way, and that I don't see any way of substituting because the character is so specific. It takes canned vegetables, which you generally say, well, I wanted the fresh ones. The fresh ones just do not make this salad very good. It is a can of corn, like corn niblets, not cream corn. Corn niblets, a can of peas, lima beans, and black-eyed peas. Now, those four strange, they're very strange, and my recommendation is don't substitute black beans even though you like them, and don't substitute kidney, because you'll end up with a South American salsa before you know what you've done. And so this is it: corn, peas, lima beans, and black-eyed peas. Then you have to get some Coleman's mustard, that powdered mustard, and mix it up and make sure to let it sit for at least 10 minutes before you do anything with it, because it then builds up the heat. You want very, very hot mustard. I don't recommend anything out of a jar because it's just not hot enough. And against these rather bland vegetables that are sort of cooked to a certain texture, this very, very hot mustard and some chopped green onions, and then add vinegar and thin the vinegar down with a little bit of water because vinegar, I think, is 6% acid, and you can change that acidity just a little bit. But the vinegar and the hot mustard go together, and lots of pepper. You can avoid salt if you don't want salt, because there's plenty of salt in the vegetables already. But put lots of pepper, and I mean maybe 1.5 tablespoons of pepper. I mean that much.
That is a lot.
It is a lot. But you will be, and then parsley, chopped parsley. It is a salad that you're while you're eating it, you're grabbing for some more. It really is so unusual and so exciting, and I can see that with the backyard barbecue, especially this early in the season. I think you would be quite pleased with that, along with some backyard grilling. It's very straightforward, and don't change it, because I don't know what you would do to change it. It just is so good. Corn, peas, lima beans, and black-eyed peas, hot mustard, green onions, vinegar, and a lot of pepper and some parsley. So that's the news from Russia today.
All right. You have a recipe to share? Give us a call, 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. And let's talk to somebody in Champaign right here, line one. Hi.
Hey, good morning.
Mm-hmm.
I want to share two quick and easy recipes. You have to understand I'm a widower. I feel comfortable in the kitchen, but I look for the short, quick, easy
good
preparation.
Direct, yes.
Both of these salads start with grated cauliflower.
Oh, grated.
Grated cauliflower.
Right, on the large grate. It makes a fine, how do I say it? Well, fine texture.
Yes.
Okay, then a package of the pre-cut cabbage slaw.
Slaw, yes.
Sliced seedless red grapes.
Oh, my.
And the other ingredient is diced pork loin, pre-cooked.
Diced pork loin?
Yeah. And then you can add things like frozen green peas.
All right.
Diced sweet red peppers. Carrots, whatever, you have in the refrigerator.
Yes.
And then I top it off with a sweet Vidalia onion dressing.
Oh, wow. I want to know about that.
It's not homemade. It's go to the grocery store and buy 10 steakhouse sweet Vidalia onions.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
I don't know about that. It's already prepared.
Already prepared. Used to be Aldi's carried a sweet Vidalia, which is where I got introduced to it.
Yes.
But then they dropped it off their inventory a year ago, so I stumbled across Ken's in a local grocery store. It's in several stores.
Now, what's that called again? Sweet Vidalia onion dressing?
Right. It's by Ken's Steakhouse.
Okay. Ken's. Good.
But I like the sweet taste, and the grapes really set that off. I've tried substituting diced chicken in there, but I didn't like it as well as the pork loin.
That does push it in a different direction. It'd be a little chicken would be a little bit bland for all these things you got here. And now the cabbage slaw. How much goes in there? A lot or a little?
I prepared the salad for a dinner party, and so I did use the whole bag.
Wow, grain?
Not the whole head of grated cauliflower, but a good amount. You know, it's look basically.
So it's at least a 50-50 mixture of the grated cauliflower and slaw.
Could be.
Something like that.
Right.
And red grapes and pork loin and green peas and red pepper and carrots and a Vidalia onion sauce. That really sounds quite extraordinary.
It has a great sweet taste to it.
Yes, I like that. Thank you.
Now, the second one, again, the grated cauliflower.
Yeah.
And I take a package of greens. You can choose whatever variety you like.
Yes.
And scissor cut them. So they're like shredded greens.
Uh-huh.
Again, I'm adding the sweet red pepper to it and frozen peas and a small can of minced black olives.
Oh, the little chopped up ones,
right,
yes.
Right, the ones finely chopped.
Those have been very, very hard to find sometimes. It annoys me. It should be in every store, but they aren't.
Right. I know. I think I looked in two different stores before I finally found them. And again, you can pretty much put your dressing of choice on this.
So this is the cauliflower and the greens and red pepper peas and the black olives.
Right.
That's good. That's very good. That would be nice with just a lemon juice and some more black pepper. That would be good. Thank you. I like that.
I don't know where I got the idea of grating cauliflower.
I don't either. I've never heard of that, but I can imagine. I do sometimes find in some of the restaurants where you have a salad bar, there's so often a cauliflower and broccoli salad that seems to be much smaller than usual, you know, not big chunks,
mm-hmm.
and that it may have come from something like that. That's very good. Thank you.
Other ingredient, of course, you can put on your shredded cheese on top of it.
Oh, all right. Cheese. What kind?
I use a cheddar.
A cheddar, yeah.
Dark cheddar, just for the contrast.
That's, and grated, yeah.
Right.
Grated cheese. That's good. Good. Well, thank you. My.
Okay. Just wanted to share it.
Yes,
well, great.
Indeed.
Thanks very much.
Those are very creative.
I have somebody else here we're going to get to in a moment, but we had someone who heard you give the recipe for your Russian bean salad,
yes.
and had one question. They wanted to know, what kind of vinegar do you like to use in this?
A light vinegar. It could be either white wine vinegar or a malt vinegar. I think that even a cider vinegar would be all right. And I did mix up the dressing the other day with a red wine vinegar, but no, not balsamic. Don't, that's too sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want that at all. So a malt vinegar, which is light, is good, and a white wine vinegar is very good. They're lighter.
Yeah.
They aren't quite as acidic.
And that's really interesting, and I guess I didn't really know about this. I suppose this is also something that I learned from old Alton, is that different vinegars have different acidity.
Yes.
And that there are some, you know, for example, I guess rice wine vinegar.
Oh, it's very light.
It's very light.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it depends on what you're doing. Maybe it also depends on your taste, you know, what you like. Do you like it really sharp and acid, or would you like something a little bit more mellow? So as you're, and I don't know, on the bottle, does it say something like about how, I'm not even sure how it's measured.
I don't know how I know that it's 6%, but it is.
Okay.
cider vinegar I know is. I mean, when you stop and think about it, again, how fortunate we are to have all of these vinegars available, because when I grew up, you had cider vinegar, and that was it. And maybe if you did a certain kind of pickling, you would get the white vinegar, the distilled white vinegar, which is okay. But I like the sort of appley taste that the cider vinegar gives. And there was nothing else, and no one even dared to think about red wine vinegar.
Yeah.
At least in the Midwest, you didn't get that, certainly.
All right.
And now you can have champagne vinegars, sherry vinegar, and all of these magnificent additives. And but you do have to juggle them carefully.
Yeah. Our guest in this part of Focus 580 is the man we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. For a long time, he's been stopping by. On the first Wednesday, we talk about food, cooking. This time around, he said, well, let's do a little salad talk. And so that means that's a pretty wide open territory. And if you have a good recipe, something that particularly now, you know, we're getting into the summer, you want cooler things. We are going to more and more have good, fresh produce available at the farmer's market. So it's good to find things to do with those things. So give us a call, 333-9455 and toll-free 800-222-9455. We have a caller here in Downs on our toll-free line, line four. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I have a couscous salad.
Oh, boy.
Well, let's have it.
2 cups of quick-cooking couscous.
Yes.
A half cup of dried currants.
Currants, yes.
Mm-hmm. 1 1/3 cups boiling chicken broth.
Broth.
2 medium zucchini chopped up fairly fine. 6 green onions sliced thinly. 2 large shallots chopped. 1/2 cup of olive oil. 2 small bell peppers, also chopped. I like to use a couple of colors, so this is a very colorful salad.
Mm-hmm.
1/3 cup of toasted pine nuts.
Oh, pine nuts, yes.
The juice of a lemon.
Okay.
1 teaspoon of ground cumin.
Oh, okay.
And salt and pepper, if you need it.
S&P.
You put the couscous and currants in a bowl and pour the boiling water and the boiling stock over them and let it stand. You saute the veggies in the olive oil. It's a lot of olive oil.
Oh, you saute them, yes.
But that's part of the dressing, just all that olive oil.
Huh.
You saute them just until you know they're cooked the way you like them. You pour that into the couscous, add lemon juice to taste, and the cumin, and then add the pine nuts just before you serve.
Ooh, that really sounds quite good.
It's really good. I take it to potlucks, and people just love it.
Now, what couscous do you use?
I just use a regular couscous. I know there's whole wheat, but I've never used it.
I see.
I use the fine one, not the fat Israeli one.
That's the one I was going to ask that difference. Okay, so it's just regular, sort of run-of-the-mill couscous.
Right. Right, and I think 2 cups is what's in one of those little boxes.
Oh, okay, okay.
If you buy
and
them.
Currants.
Uh-huh.
That's a nice little sweet right at the edge. Oh, that's good.
I have several recipes that use either a currant or a raisin and cumin and peppers, sweet peppers. And for some reason, I love that combination of flavors.
I was wondering about something like that. Maybe you're exactly the one who can help me. A friend and I were talking, and he said, why isn't there a salad made with hominy? And I couldn't think of one, so we invented one, and sort of thought hominy, but lots of black pepper, and maybe just lemon juice, and then I wanted some peppers in there. I couldn't think whether I wanted green ones or red ones. The red ones would taste very good against that, but something was missing, and it came to me last night. I believe maybe chopped cilantro would be a nice additive to that.
Maybe a little cumin.
And I had cumin in the back of my mind, but my goodness, I use that on almost everything I do. And it amuses me. But yes, cumin was the very first thought. So I'll do both. Maybe, yeah.
Sounds
yeah.
Good.
Cumin and black pepper. Yeah, we'll work on that. Or if anyone has any idea of what to do as a salad with hominy, I'd like to hear about it.
Sometimes in this couscous, I'll put in chickpeas, garbanzo beans.
Oh, yes.
Or sometimes meat, you know, if you want to main dish.
Okay. You know, so we're kind of like the green pork, the pork loin, chopped
right.
pork loin that was in the other recipe, right. if you have that left over. That's
good. Do you
have
time for my desperation main dish salad?
Sure.
This happened one day when I think we were painting, and we had worked way too late, house painting. And I said to my husband, there was nothing, not much in the refrigerator. And I said, go get some bagged salad and a rotisserie chicken.
Oh, yes.
And in my cupboard and refrigerator, I had goat cheese and good black olives and jarred roasted red peppers.
Okay, roasted red peppers, yes.
And those things, along with greens and a vinaigrette, make a dynamite salad.
So the chicken is taken off the bone and
yeah.
kind of chunked up a little bit
right.
or pulled.
Right.
Either way. And goat cheese.
And the goat cheese is crumbled and the olives and the peppers are just, you know, chopped or shredded or,
uh-huh.
you know. It's a salad that I have made and made and made now because it, on a hot day, it never fails to.
Well, again, that's very, very direct and an interesting combination. As I say, it's totally different from just having all greens all the time.
Right. And that's another combination that I really like is sweet peppers and something kind of assertive and salty like the olives.
Oh, yes, yes.
And the goat cheese. So you have a little bit of the sour and salty and the sweet.
That makes a lot of difference. That's good. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, thanks for the call. Well,
desperation salad. I like it.
Others, desperate or not, are welcome to call 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. You know, I think, Mike, I've had sort of mixed experience with couscous, and I'm not exactly sure why, but partly I think it is because it's a pasta, and I think it really needs to be fresh. Part of that, I think, is, you know, if it's been sitting on the shelf, throw it away and go get some new. The other thing is I'm thinking, I think maybe I have overcooked this thing. And the when it really has worked, I think that actually what I've done is probably just put it into boiling water and then just let it sit. And that also was, but somehow it gets it. I don't know what my problem is. It gets too wet or something. I'm not sure.
Well, I think your problem is it's not a part of your old habits of eating.
Well,
therefore you don't know exactly what to do with it, and you do it this way and that. Now, am I talking about myself? Yes, absolutely. I have exactly the same problem. It almost frightens me. I don't want to face it again.
Yeah.
You know? And that's why I asked which one did she use, because I thought maybe the great big couscous.
The great big. See, I don't like that. I don't like the great big couscous that I've had, and it's something. No, that's not what I'm looking for. The mouthfeel is too strange. I like the one that's just the fine grained stuff. But somehow, I don't know.
Well,
what I'm
that's
doing
why
wrong.
I depend on Bulgar, because Bulgar does exactly the same sort of thing to you,
mm-hmm.
you know. And but I will keep trying. And there are some of my friends that do use it. I find it very bland. I'm not putting the right things with it because I'm fighting it. I do know that. But it's just because, how do you get that in Midwest Kansas?
I guess maybe that's it. Yeah, it wasn't like I was raised.
Exactly.
No couscous. My mother did not ever make couscous. That's for sure. Well, let's go to somebody else here. Line one, Champagne. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for all these great recipes. It's wonderful for the summer.
It's a good start, isn't it?
Yes, it's wonderful. I had a couple ideas I got. I spent a semester in England, and my neighbor would make up these salads that would be a whole meal, even in the winter, but it would taste good all year round. And one of the things she did, which I loved, and people who don't like Brussels sprouts like this, is we would sauté just half the Brussels sprouts. We'd get fresh ones in the market.
Yes.
And sauté them in olive oil. And
whole?
Then,
not whole?
Half them.
We'd half
slice
them.
Slice them in
okay,
half.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, the it would fall apart a little, but that was fine.
Yes.
and sautéed in olive oil, and I just did that here after getting home and put that on top of a salad. The other things we'd add would be tortellini sometimes, sometimes pasta, like bow tie pasta tossed in a bit of pesto.
Oh, yes, so nice bites, yes.
Yeah, they add texture to the salad, and it feels like it's a very filling meal, and we put in whatever vegetables we had at home. But the Brussels sprouts were a great addition because it's so substantial, and yet they don't add a ton of calories and they don't add a lot of carbs, but they just taste very, very good with the other vegetables. And I've used greens and red peppers, cucumbers, anything I have.
You sautéed the Brussels sprouts. You didn't boil them.
Right. Yes, and I had never done that before.
I was going to say, how did you get out of England without a boiled gray Brussels sprout?
it was amazing. And you could get these fresh ones in the market where you get a huge bowl for a pound, and we'd bring them home and split them. And, I learned this from her, and I've always liked Brussels sprouts, but I'd never sautéed them before. And it was just olive oil. That was it. And then we'd use a vinaigrette on top, and you could eat the salad all evening. It was just sort of this thing you'd graze on, and I've made it since then. And people who think, oh, Brussels sprouts, don't like those.
Exactly.
They like them in the salad, and it was nice to have the cold and the hot together.
Uh-huh.
It just felt more filling, and the salad ended up being about room temperature, but it added just different textures to it. I just wanted to suggest that.
Yes, that's very good. I think that's very interesting. I have been sort of wooed by some of these people who take the Brussels sprouts apart, and I haven't tried that yet. But I believe that indeed they were sautéed, but then just the leaves. They just tore them all apart. But I believe I like the idea of them just being halved.
Yeah, and then some of them fall apart, and some of them stick together. So you sort of have a combination of textures.
I'm going to give that a try.
Okay,
that's
good. Thank you for all these ideas.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
We'll talk with our caller in Downs again. Let's go back here to line number 4. Hello.
Hi. I'm on HD, so I'm behind. But I'm back to couscous. You guys have got to get with couscous.
Yes.
All you do, it is the fastest thing to have as a starch with your dinner. Do not boil it.
Don't boil it, okay.
No, you just pour the boiling water over it, put a lid on it, and let it sit for 5 minutes, and it's ready.
Now, you can't do faster than that, can you?
No.
And is there any, when you buy it, is there any particular way you want to buy it or anything that you look for? Or, you know, just go to the place where you buy bulk stuff and you just go to the bin? But you just buy it in a box, okay.
It will... if it's really old, it will have kind of a rancid.
Yeah, see, I think that's part of my problem. Maybe as I've bought it and it sat on the shelf, and by the time that I get around to using it, it's been sitting there, and it just tastes off to me. And I think
Near East brand from the supermarket. It's in a white box with a brown label with a picture of couscous. Comes in an enormous variety of flavors, which you can try, but I just get the plain one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah, plain.
And I almost always do, excuse me, I'm beset with spring allergies. I almost always use stock or broth rather than water.
Okay.
And I often squeeze some lemon juice in that.
Into the broth?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And, but it is, I mean, unless you're going to make a dish out of it, it is bland. It's, you know, it's rice. It's, you know, something that you're going to put something else onto.
Okay.
I guess that's our problem.
But there are lots of dishes, you know, that are sort of based on it, like that salad.
Gee, and I thought you had to buy a couscousier.
Well, yes.
In order. That's
people
exotic.
People tell me that this quick stuff is like minute rice.
Yes.
I don't ever want to have real good couscous just because I want to like this.
You don't want to get spoiled.
I see what you're saying.
They can't go back to that.
exactly. But okay. You can put, you know, you can and go and look at this Near East stuff in the supermarket.
Yeah.
There are ideas for what else you can put in with it because they package them with all kinds of flavorings.
Well, that's
chopped parsley. Cumin is always good.
Yes.
Yeah, anything's good with cumin on it, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. But it is. It's just such a an easy thing to have together with stuff.
Well, I will change my mind and do that. Thank you very much.
You could skimp on the water too a little bit if you think that what you've had is too wet.
Too messy. Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
we'll try. We'll report back next month.
Okay. We'll let you know what happens.
Good luck.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
We have about 10 minutes left in this part of Focus 580.
Oh, no.
Yes, I'm sorry. The clock moves.
Boy, I guess it does.
That's right. And we're talking about salads, and we thought, well, this was who knows where we would end up going. It was so wide open. We've talked a little bit about tabbouleh. We talked about couscous. And Doyle gave a Russian bean salad. So maybe we got some other folks who have some different ideas, and we can take some more recipes, and we'll put them on our website. 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. And let's talk with someone in Urbana. Line one. Hello.
Question. Should couscous perhaps be stored in the freezer if you're not going to use it right away? That's what I do with falafel and soy flour, for instance.
Well, that wouldn't be a bad idea. Of course, my feeling is get in there and use it. You know, I don't like coming across things that I've left sitting around for a long time. And I just recently cleaned out my kitchen and I found things that I have no idea when they were put in there.
Yeah.
I'm very sure that the freezer would not hurt it because you're not going to get freezer burn or anything because it's dry already. But that would keep it a little fresher. But I think probably the thing is plan on using it faster.
Yeah.
Well, I always seem to end up with a little more than what I want to use at one time.
Well, yes.
And some things like falafel I like to keep on hand, and I just think they store better. Well, anyway, yeah. That was a question.
Well, okay. I think that's a good answer. The freezer is really a helpful thing.
The couscous, the
yes.
Tip was just pour boiling water on it.
Yes, and then I don't know if you really have to cover it, but it's just simply going to rehydrate.
And it
isn't going to get any hotter than that, so it'll cool down. And it takes several minutes for it to do that. But then bulgur is the same thing. You can just pour boiling water over, or even not. I just use water from the tap, hot water. Said, do it. Then I ran off to the market and got the rest of the things while it was sitting there and coming back together, and it worked fine.
Well, thank you.
You
all
bet.
Right, thanks for the call. Others are welcome. 333-9455. Toll-free, 800-222-9455. See, we're just going to have to get on this couscous thing. I want to like it. I have had it when it was good. I have had it in restaurants. But somehow, you know, most of my attempts to make it just at home, just something's not right. I don't know what.
Well, we'll just work it out.
All right. Was there something else that you might like to share?
I was thinking very much about my mother's coleslaw, that it seemed only she could make it, and everyone tells me, oh, you're wrong, she couldn't have done that. The dressing was cream and vinegar. Whoa, that'll curdle. Well, mothers never did. And she didn't have a whisk. She had to have used a fork, and she sits there and would beat the cream and pour in vinegar. We didn't use lemon juice. I'm very, very sure.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all that was. It's all I ever tasted on coleslaw for years and years and years. A couple of times she made a boiled dressing, but that has flour and sugar and dry mustard, and I don't think she did that too. And an egg, and you boil all that together carefully and stir it up, and it makes kind of a kind of like a curd, but thin and thin it down with a little bit of stuff. But it was just and I would try to make it. Oh, yes, I'd make cottage cheese by the time I was done. And I realized that it was the mixing, sitting there and mixing the cream with the fork and then slowly putting in the vinegar. And that's all you need. It's totally different taste from mayonnaise thinned down with lemon juice.
Yeah.
And totally different taste. So that was my other thought was not really so much getting back to basics, except that is a very, very basic thing.
Yeah. Coleslaw, homemade coleslaw is a good thing.
It's a real good thing.
And it's not complicated, but it's such a good thing.
Well, I know when I first found one that was made with thin vinegar and you know there's a creamy style and a thin style.
Uh-huh.
I was always suspect of the one that was just vinegar because I knew it had to have this white and it had to be just right. So anyway, that's my tip for the day. Learn how to make a good cream and a vinegar dressing.
We have some other calls here. We'll try to get everybody in. Next is Chicago, line number 4. Hello.
You could ever consider a show that would be talk about vegetarian burgers or patties. I recently had a few at some vegetarian events, like a lentil burger and other combinations that are very interesting. And I thought you might want to ask your caller sometime to maybe call in their favorite vegetarian recipes for burgers. What with the upcoming outdoor grilling season?
That's coming up.
Stores are supposed to grilling burgers and sausages and that. I find that the vegetarian things are very pleasant in this kind of warm summer weather. So I thought I'd just suggest that as a point to.
That's a good idea because I'm cooking a lot of that anyway because I've sort of slowed down on meat.
Burgers, meatballs.
Yes.
Burger balls and other combinations that go with it. I saw some good lentils, legumes, beans, and that combined with a grain make a complete protein in a sense and with dairy and. That's what I enjoy quite a bit. Thank you.
Okay,
that's
well,
good.
Thanks. Well, that's interesting. I certainly have. I don't know if I've heard of lentils using lentils that way. I know that I've seen recipes that use black beans that way. And essentially, you make what looks like a burger, and you could either cook it in a skillet, or I suppose you could also cook it on the grill outside.
I buy Morningstar.
Well, and of course you can buy. Yes, you can buy.
And I like Morningstar better than Boca.
You can buy a product that's made. I guess are those both made out of soy?
Oh yes, it's soy. Yeah, the soy protein, the STP.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And that's called
TVP. STP. You put that in your car.
Well, no, soy textured protein, STP.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. I was thinking textured vegetable protein.
Oh, TVP. TVP.
But STP. Yeah, that's what I makes your car go better. Let's talk with at least one more person on a cell phone here. Line 1. Hello.
Hi. I just have to revisit the couscous subject one more
time.
Because I think you may be mixing two things, and I'm not positive about this, but the Near Eastern brand that one of the callers spoke about is an instant couscous. And it does just take a few minutes, and it's very nice. But if you do couscous that you've bought in bulk, like at one of the, at Strawberry Field or something like that, not instant, and it is complicated to make it. And I have an Egyptian friend who once worked with me, and it took like 45 minutes, and you had to bring it to a boil and then bring it to a boil like 3 times, let it go down and bring it up again. And that's probably the kind that you have when you get it in a restaurant that tastes really good. And there's this instant brand because it isn't that easy to make, but they're not the same thing. And if you buy it in bulk and just pour boiling water on it and let it stand for 4 minutes, it's not going to work.
Oh, that could be a good answer.
Okay.
Yeah, so as I understand it, and there's an instant type, which is what you're buying in the supermarket in that box, and, you know, a real kind, and you can't make them the same way.
Well, okay. that's good to know, because I would have treated them both the same.
I would do the same thing,
yeah,
too.
Right.
See, when you're
right.
ignorant.
But try the instant kind. If you haven't tried it, it is very good and very easy.
The caller said she didn't want to know she knew about the other, but she didn't want to get rid of the instant because she liked it so much.
Yeah, it's very easy. My kids love it. They make it themselves. And, it's a good product to know about.
Okay.
That's good.
Well, thanks very much.
I guess you really have to make sure
you know what it is you're buying.
That's true, too.
All right. We'll try to get one more. McLean County, line two. Hello.
Hi. I have a very good question. I know this kind of sounds silly, but how do you shred cabbage? Because I love coleslaw as well, but if I do it by hand, it doesn't seem to work.
Now, why? Because that's the way to do it, really. I mean,
by hand?
Yeah, it does work easier. You cut the cabbage in half so you've got a stable flatness, and then you come in from the side and you just chop it carefully with a big knife, and it makes a better shred than if you try to run it through a mandolin or something like that. There are old cabbage shredders, but they were coarser, and they were mostly used for making sauerkraut. But if you for the stuff that you want, I wouldn't even recommend the Cuisinart. That'll chop it up. You get a real nice fine. You just do it carefully, but you do it secure. You cut the head in half, mm-hmm. and then turn it down so you've got a good solid. And you just start in from the side. And you just slowly chop away at it, mm-hmm. and do it as close as you possibly can. And you'll like that.
It seems
like a lot of trouble, but it turns. I've come to do. I threw away all the slicers and everything when it comes to cabbage.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes.
Well, we must leave it at that, with the promise that Bob will be back, or you're not going to be here in July.
Oh yeah.
Oh okay.
No, I was thinking. There was another image in my mind. Some of the old women in Europe would hold the cabbage up to their chest, uh-huh. and slice toward them with the knife.
Oh my God! Do not try this at home.
But I and of course they swore that was the only way to get that very thin.
We gotta go.